Have your Bibles tonight, and I encourage you to open them with me. The book of 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to be looking at, I believe, a timely message for our day. It concerns the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But tonight, as Peter had told and wrote to his readers there, that they were experiencing, always remember in the book of 1 Peter, that they were experiencing great trial in their life, very hardships that were being put upon them for just being a Christian. And he wrote to encourage them, and as we come tonight, one of the things he encourages them with is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight we want to look, as he gave them some things to share with them, living for the Lord in these last days. And he begins the statement in verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 4, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, watch unto prayer. Above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity covereth the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one toward another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as unto the oracles of God. And if any man minister, let him do it as to the ability which God hath given, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be praise and dominion forever and ever." You know, one of the things that the Bible writes concerning the last days, Paul said, that this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Times of deep trouble, as I understand, that would come upon the earth during the last days. And as we look tonight, one of the great truths to be understood during these troublesome times is that our Lord will come again, the second coming of Jesus Christ. If you look in what Peter said in verse 7, the end of all things is at hand. Jesus could come at any moment. I believe that the early writers, even of the Gospels or the epistles themselves, Paul and the writers of the epistle, really believed that Jesus would come or could come in their lifetime. They wrote as he could, even as Peter wrote in verse 7 of chapter 4. I believe tonight that Jesus can come at any moment, at any time. The words spoken by him in the book of Matthew chapter 24 and verse 44, "Therefore ye be also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." And I don't believe tonight that there has to be anything to take place that would prevent our Lord from coming at this very moment, at this very time in our lives tonight. And tonight, as we search the Scriptures, we find that we're living in what the Bible calls the last days. If you want to turn to Acts chapter 2, you'll find that Peter preaching the message on the day of Pentecost, you'll understand that he quotes from the book of Joel, and he uses from the words from Joel's prophecy. And in verse 17, he makes this statement, "It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." He mentions the last days. And in those last days, he mentions a time that he's going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. I believe that happened on the day of Pentecost. I believe on the day of Pentecost, God sent, through the Lord Jesus Christ, his gift to the church. And I believe that he poured out his Spirit upon the church, upon mankind. And the fullness of the Holy Spirit came. And from the day of Pentecost until the time that the Lord Jesus will come is known in the Scriptures as the last days. The last days. So therefore tonight, biblically and scripturally correct, we can say that we're living in the last days. Now in the book of 1 Corinthians 10, Paul made this statement in verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 10. "All of those things happened to them," that is the Old Testament saints, "as examples for us." Now listen to his statement. upon whom the end of the world are come. So he is referring to last days. And he himself puts himself in those last days. He told the church at Philippians in the book of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5, the Lord is at hand. And tonight, as we search the signs that the Lord gave concerning His coming, we truly can say that these signs point to the closeness of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many believe that we're not only living in the last days, but literally in the last days, yea, the minutes of the last day. One of the most interesting verses to me is found in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 33. When Jesus said to His disciples, when ye shall see all these things begin to come to pass, know ye not that it's near, even at the doors. And tonight I believe, and I know that as we go on in time and each day passes by, we're coming nearer to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. No man knoweth the hour, no man knoweth the day that the Lord Jesus will come. But in that time that God has for His Son to come to the earth, Jesus Christ will come and He will not tarry. He will not tarry. I believe He will come at the specific time that's on God's program, that it's on His eternal calendar for Him to come again. And as we look tonight in these verses, I want us to draw some things that Peter writes to these saints who are suffering, who are going through troubling experiences in their lives, to share with them about living for Jesus in these last days. And I want us to look at some things that He tells them. Look what He says to them, first of all, in verse 7. He says this, "Be ye therefore sober." And we think of sober as that in connection with alcohol. But the word sober there does not mean that. The word sober in this particular statement means a serious study, a serious study of the Scripture. And here, as we think, we should be learning of His coming. And tonight, as we search the Scriptures, we should be seriously studying the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many doctrines that bless our hearts. There are many doctrines that thrill our hearts to study. But I remind you that the doctrine of the second coming of Jesus should be special and should be interesting to those that know Him as their personal Savior. If you'll look in the book of Revelation chapter 1, you'll find that John encourages those that read his prophecy. He encourages them to do this. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. The importance of searching the Scripture in relation to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, one of the things that is disturbing today is this that is even absent from many pulpits in our land today, and that is the preaching of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we study the second coming of Jesus, we'll find tonight that we'll not be caught off guard. We'll find tonight that we'll be not shaken as things begin and things are happening in our world today. We're living in times that things happen that many times shake us. Many times we really seemingly don't understand. But I have to remind myself in my life that God tells me that these things will come in these last days. And therefore He gives me His Word that my faith will not be shaken, but it will be encouraged to live for Him in these last days before He comes. Now, one of the things that we learn of His coming that will help us in studying His second coming is that it will enlighten us about His coming. I want you to turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I want you to notice Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, and someone says that he ends each chapter with a statement about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he tells in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For ye yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh a thief, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh on them, as travail as a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, but that ye, that day should overtake you as a thief. Now, what does he share with us? I realize tonight that when the Bible mentions the day of the Lord, we understand that, or I understand that to mean that Jesus coming back to this earth, the day of the Lord, and to this world, when he comes, he's coming as a what? A thief in the night. But Paul tells these saints at Thessalonica, he said, listen, this day, or even the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, should not come or take us as a thief. Because why? We should be prepared. Because that we are in the light. We have the light of the Scriptures to inform us of these things that are coming to pass upon the earth. And therefore, we tonight can understand or attempt to understand as He comes. You know, as I think tonight, there's a special verse of Scripture that tells me, that enlightens me of His past coming. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 9. We're coming upon the time of Easter, when we mark the death, the burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in the book of Hebrews chapter 9, the Bible says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. That's His first coming. And as I look and as I study, Jesus gave many prophecies through the Old Testament prophets concerning His first coming. He told that He would be born of a virgin. It was told that He would be born in the place of Bethlehem. Many things He wrote concerning that first coming. And do you know, there were people that were looking for His first coming. We read of Anna. We read of Simeon. We read of the faithful few that were looking for Jesus at His first coming, anticipating, expecting Him to come as God said that He would come as a lamb, as He would come to be crucified on the cross of Calvary. But in the book of Hebrews 9, chapter 28, the Bible says in that verse, so shall He come the second time without sin unto salvation. Now what I want you to grasp is this. In the past it's been spoken concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only His first coming, but also His second coming in Scripture. I could take you tonight, time will not permit me, to the book of Daniel. And he so clearly tells us concerning the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find that even Jesus Himself, as told in the book of Matthew chapter 24, as stated in the book of Luke chapter 21, He told of the prophecy of His second coming. He made a promise to His disciples. He said, if I go away, I will do what? I will come again for you. What did the angels say in the book of Acts chapter 1? It states in verse 11, this same Jesus which is taken up from you shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. So tonight when we stand and when we speak of the second coming of Christ, it shouldn't be something that should confuse us. It shouldn't be something that would puzzle us. We should know, because why? The Bible teaches us clearly in the Scripture concerning His coming, the prophecy of it, the past, the present, and also the promise concerning Jesus coming again. And tonight, as we think of that, we think about not being caught off guard. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And let me read again concerning the second coming of Jesus Christ, things that we need to note. He said in verse 1 of chapter 2, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, by our gathering unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by a letter from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. There again he writes to his readers. And he's saying to them, don't be troubled. Don't be shaken. Don't be caught off guard. Ye should know what's going to transpire at His coming. And tonight, as we think, one of the least thought of truths amongst our lives tonight is that the possibility of Jesus Christ could come again. My, why? I believe it's because that we have got caught into this world. We've been caught up in the affairs of this world. And we don't set our affections on things above as we ought to do. I'm guilty of it. I'm guilty in my life of looking at the things, I guess it's the things of around me, and not thinking on the reality that Jesus Christ can come and could come at any moment in our lives. And you know, tonight, folks, let's be real. Let's ask us this question. If we really believe this possibility, would it change my lifestyle? Would it cause me to be more fervent in my living for the Lord Jesus Christ? If I really thought on that thought that this was a reality or could be a reality, I believe tonight that it would change my life more, and probably we all could say it would change our lives more if we really grasp that truth that He could come. Now, I believe in the New Testament church, in the early times of that church, they really grasped this truth. They really believed it to the bottom of their heart. And they lived in such a way that, listen, they looked for His coming as they were aware that He could come at any moment. My, today, as we think about the coming of Jesus, my, ought it to encourage us as Christians to live more closely for the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. I think about what Paul said, if you'll turn to the book of Philippians chapter 3 and look with me tonight at verse 20 and 21. Listen to what he says. He says, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it might be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. What? That He encourages us. Looking what? Letting our conversation, our thoughts, our hearts be on the things concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He will do at His coming for us tonight concerning His church. You know, I'm thankful for the life that God has given me now. I'm excited. Brother Dale and I ran around the community the other day, and I couldn't get over just how in this small part that how populated this community was. And I'm excited about being the pastor of Burnout Baptist Church and the things that God's going to do. But I'm going to have to admit to you tonight, I have a hope in my heart that Jesus Christ would come today. I have that hope in my heart as I learn more concerning His coming. What God will do for us as His people, that He's going to change us. And listen, reunited with loved ones who we've got more on the other side than we've got here. You're looking at Francis and my family tonight. You're looking at it. I've got a sister. She's got two cousins. That's it tonight. You say, what's happened, Brother Danny? As time has come, it's taken more of our family to the other side than been left here. And listen, I've got more over there than I've got here tonight. And I thank God, though, for my life here and what He's given me. But I have to say, even as John would say tonight, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, because I want to tell you something. I've read the book. I know what He states in the book. I know what He says is coming to this earth. You know, tonight, folk, I'm not being negative. I'm not trying to be kind of a pessimist tonight. I'm an opportunist as a Christian. But tonight, I know what's coming to this world. I know that it's not going to get any better. I know perhaps this is the best day this world has ever seen. It's continually going to spiral and spiral down. You say, oh, Brother Danny, aren't you an evolutionist? No, I'm a biblical student tonight. I know what the Bible says. Man is going to continue going down and down. And I remind you concerning even what Jesus said concerning the day of the Lord. When they say, peace, 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 look out, what's coming. Destruction is coming. It's coming to our nation. It's coming to the world. And tonight, folks, listen. The only truth is, Jesus is the hope for this world. The only hope is His coming again back for His children tonight. My, tonight, to learn the truths and to study them makes us more enlightened, encourages us more as Christians. I think about what Luke wrote in Luke chapter 21. when you shall see all these things. Look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And tonight, learning more about Jesus, learning more of His coming. He said, be sober, seriously study what you have concerning His coming. But look at the second thing that He says. He says back in verse 7, He says, watch. And what He's saying, we're to look for His coming. Not only learn about it, but we're to be looking for His coming. Anticipation. I mean, tonight, if someone has said they're coming to see us, don't we look and listen with anticipation that their car will arrive in the carport, that we're going to see them come? I think about what the Bible says in the book of Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. To many people, the second coming of Jesus is a fearful truth. But to the child of God, it's an anticipated truth. It's a longed for truth that we're looking for Him to come again. In the book of Colossians chapter 3, if you'll turn there with me to verses 2 and 4, you find this statement concerning how that we're to look for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. Ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Listen to this statement. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. My, tonight, we could say, I'm looking for this to happen. I'm looking for this to happen. But tonight, our thought, our heart, I'm looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight we could go and we could start singing out the signs that Jesus said would be there as for His coming. We could see the wars, the rumors of wars, the disease, the sickness and troubles and heartaches in all the world. And tonight you say, Brother Dan, what causes that to you? That says to me, look for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ draws near tonight. Look with anticipation. Look tonight with a yearning in your heart. And that means to yearn. Listen to what He says in the next statement. He says, watch unto prayer. That is a longing in our hearts for Him to come. Did you know what the Bible has tonight for you as a child of God? God gives you a promise and God gives you a blessing. And God says, I'll even go farther than that. I'll give you even a reward concerning My coming. He said in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but now listen to this statement, unto them that love His appearing, unto them that are longing, unto them that love His appearing. And He said, listen, I'm going to give you that in your life. Listen tonight. I believe tonight, Brother Leland, I'm in the will of God when I pray for Jesus to come again. I believe when we pray for Jesus to come again, we're praying in the will of God, because in the Mall prayer, He says, for Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I believe tonight to pray and to prayer is not only to pray in the will of God, but it should be the desire, it should be the wish of every child of God, if he or she is right with God, to have that longing to be with Christ, to see our Savior, to be reunited with loved ones who've gone on before. John, when he saw all the things that God told him in his prophecy, he said, even so come quickly, Lord Jesus. As this day draws closer, there should be a greater longing in our hearts to go home and to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. I told you this morning I have a little horse. Its name is Sparky. I rode Sparky one day last week. Really over him a couple days. Now I have to take my truck and trailer down to a farm down there where the road is dirt, where it won't be on the highway. And I can park my truck and trailer down there in a little field, and I'll get off them, and I have a hard time getting him going, I'll be honest with you. He doesn't want to do, and he doesn't want to go like he should. He doesn't want to get in his gate like he should. And I'll ride him up the road, and as I get back, and he can see the side of that truck, and he can see that trailer, he knows what's coming. He's going to be able to get back in, take a rest on his back, and be able to get water and food. And he begins to pick up his step, and he really begins to spark as he gets near home. And tonight, folk, you listen, that's the way that we as God's children ought to be. We ought to be picking up our step. There ought to be a little more spark in our lives as we get closer and closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Peter challenges his readers with. He said, listen, don't let the things that's happening to you, don't let the things that's going on in this old world trouble you. He said, listen, learn of His coming. As you learn for it, look for it, and may there be a longing in your heart as He His day approaches for you. But look at the next statement he says in 1 Peter chapter 4. Listen what he says. He makes this statement. He says, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. You know what Jesus says when He comes? He says, listen, we ought to be loving when He comes. We ought to be loving when He comes. Now, he makes this statement concerning charity. And I want to note with you some things about love tonight. Did you know tonight, love is the greatest virtue we have tonight? Remember what he said in 1 Corinthians 13:13? He said, now aboundeth what? Faith, hope, and charity. What did he say the greatest virtue was? Charity. He said, love. The greatest virtue we can know in our lives is love. But turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 22 right quickly. And he was before Jews. And he was before those Jews and Pharisees. And they asked him a question. They said, Master, which is the greatest commandment of the law? Which is the greatest commandment? And you remember the statement he shared with them? Here's the greatest commandment to man. To love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. That is the greatest commandment given to mankind, to love the Lord thy God. And you know tonight, folk, in reality, when I have love toward God the way I should love God, I'm going to love my fellow man like I should. As a believer tonight in Christ, when I love God the way that I should love God, I love my brothers and sisters the way I should. And when I love God the way I should love God, I'll tell you something. I'll not only love them, I'll love lost humanity like I should. And I'll just get where it brings down to Danny Stanford on level ground tonight. When I love God the way that I should love God, I love my wife the way that I should love her. Amen? I mean, listen. Love is the greatest commandment that we have been given tonight. But I want to show you something else about this thing called love. It is the greatest testimony that we have. Turn to John 13 and verse 35. Now, there can be many things said about Burnout Baptist Church. Many good things that are said about this church. But I'll tell you, one of the greatest things that can be said about a church is that she is a loving church. The Bible says in John 13 and verse 35, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. If you have what? If you have love one toward another. The greatest testimony given to His people, given to the church tonight, is that she has love one for another. We're living in days of splits and splinters, splitters and splints. You can see it everywhere. It seems like in the house of God. I appreciate what Brother Dawn said this morning in his devotional. How that, listen, the church in unity. That's the way God wants it to be. In love. But listen tonight, folk, as He reminded us, beware. if there's anything that stirs up the devil, it's when God's people are in love and unity, it stirs him up. And tonight, folks, listen. God help this church. Yea, God help churches all over to be loving people when Jesus comes. Look at the next great virtue. Not only is it the greatest testimony, look in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14. It is the greatest motivation. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." The greatest motivation. You know what, tonight? I believe and know that you're going to love me as your pastor. You say, why? Because you have the love of God. And it's the love of God that motivates us. I pray, God, that I'll love you as I should, because the love of Christ is what motivates us. Today, we live in a world where we hand out things, trying to motivate and stir people to do things for God. Folks, you listen. I don't think it takes things to stir a true child of God. I believe God's love within us ought to stir us, ought to move us tonight. My, the greatest motivation, it's not a hamburger. I love to eat. It's not the physical food, but folks, you listen, it's the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. Listen tonight. The greatest confirmation is in love. Turn to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. The greatest confirmation. You know, I talked about this morning, I remember the day. I do. Oh, the red letter day in our life when we invited Jesus Christ in there as a Savior. I thought about that going to youth camp or going to vacation Bible school when I was a youngster. And they talked about, this is the day, the day. And you know, we sang that little song. Well, maybe it was on a Sunday. Maybe it was on a Monday. Maybe it was on any day through that week. And you know, you may have forgotten the day, but you know, they included a little stanza for that. It was on a one day. Amen? It was on a one day that you received Christ as your Savior. And that was a special day. But I want to tell you tonight, there's another way that I know that I am God's child tonight. It is in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. By this you know that you pass from death unto life, because you do what? You love the brethren. You love those in Christ. Now, folks, you listen. Some of us sometimes are hard to love. Oh, me. Some of us just get hard to love. But aren't you glad the love of God can love us anyway? I mean, love. When He comes, let charity be found in our lives. What is that verse in Romans 5, verse 5? That through the Holy Spirit, the love of Christ shed abroad in our hearts. And tonight, that love shed abroad. When I come, I don't want Him to find me grumpy. When He comes, I don't want Him to find me complaining. When He comes, I want Him to find the love of God in my heart that's grateful and appreciative for the things that He's done and is doing in our lives. But last, look at what He says again in 1 Peter chapter 4. As He encourages His readers to live for the Lord Jesus Christ as He comes. He says this in verse 9. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Every man hath received the gift. Even so, minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You know, tonight, every one of us, and He says to them, receive the gift. And I look at that gift as a talent that God has given to each of us. A specific talent that He's given to us to use for Him in His work. And then He says concerning the many different colors of the grace of God. God's gifts comes with many different colors. Listen as He explains them in the next verse. He says, if any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God. There is the speaking gift. And you know what tonight? God has bestowed upon man. God has called men to speak, to share His Word. And notice He says to speak according to what? To speak according to the articles of God. He has called men to preach His Word. And there are speaking gifts. And then He says something else. He says, let him do it. He says, let him do it of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things might be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. There are serving gifts that God gives. Speaking gifts, serving gifts, all are included. And listen, there's two reasons that He gives them. First of all, for the good of others, that we might minister and help others. I many times have embraced many situations in my life in pastor work for some, I guess, 35 years, I guess, in ministry. And there's many things that I have, I guess, went through in pastoral work. But one of the oddest things that I've ever gone through in dealing with people is that one time there was a young lady that she played the piano. And she played the piano, and we had really three or four piano players. And you see, when I began at Hampton, we didn't even have a piano player. But we had at that time about three or four piano players. And she asked her to play the piano. She liked it so well, she didn't want anybody else to play it. But as she played the piano, she made this statement: I don't play the piano for anybody else. I play the piano for myself only. One day, her husband got up to resign. And that's the only time in my ministry I ever know really getting back. I said, I entertain a motion and second to accept her resignation. I just about had it with that attitude. Folk, you listen. We minister to help others in our lives. Not for self, but to help others. And we minister, secondly, for the glory of God, to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. As we come and as we approach the second coming of Christ, He says, listen, learn of it. He says, listen, look for it, long for it. He says, in that last statement, He's making this statement, He says, be laboring, be working, be active in the right things, ministering to others, and also ministering for the glory of God. I'll say it again. This is not about me. Burnout Baptist Church is not about you specifically. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and His glory and for His glory tonight. And tonight, folk, if I could close with a verse of Scripture, it would be to challenge me and to challenge each of us. It is in 1 John chapter 2. And if you haven't had this little verse underlined, I would encourage you to underline it. Highlight it in your Bible. Because I believe it's a challenge concerning living for the Lord in these last days. He says this, now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall come, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. My, that we might have what? We might have confidence. Be able to stand before Him, I believe, at the judgment seat of Christ as we meet Him. And stand there with confidence. Not with shame. Not with shame. Not with fear. But the anticipation and the glory just to meet Him. I read several years, and Francis and I had the opportunity to go to Jacksonville, Florida a few years ago to a Bible conference. Heard many, many wonderful speakers. The speaker that I'll never forget was Bobby Welch. He was past president of the Southern Baptist Convention at the time. And I believe he's from Alabama, maybe from the Shoals area. But he was in the Army, and he told a story that happened to him when he was in Vietnam. Before he went to the service, he was saved, but he'd gotten out of the work of God, and he'd gotten out of the will of God. And he kind of drifted away from the Lord. And he went to service, went to Vietnam. And there, as they was on an expedition, They stepped on a landmine. Him and his group, it just exploded, he said, before them. And they said, he was laying there. And he said, as I was laying there, he said, I thought about dying and knew probably that I was going to die. But he said, as I lay there, I wasn't afraid of not being saved. Because he said, I knew that I was saved. But he said, what came to my heart was to face Jesus away from him. Not where I should be in my life as a Christian as I meet him. And the Lord turned that around. And he gave his heart and life to Christ, the preacher of the gospel. You know, tonight, you look and people ask you, do you think we're in the falling away? I don't know. I don't know where we're at. As I say, I believe we're in these last days. I often tell people, if we're not, I'd hate to see it. Because we do see apathy and many things going on today and even Christian and religion today. And you say, well, everybody's doing it. But you know, that's not true, is it? That's not true. There are still people living for Jesus. There are still people preaching His Word. And there are still people that look and long for Him to return in their life. And I believe with all my heart that when Jesus comes, He's going to find people that are looking for Him. He's going to find people that are still living faithfully for Him in their life. All tonight, folks, listen. The second coming of Christ is a wonderful truth. It is a truth that shouldn't frighten us, scare us, but it is a truth that we ought to love, we ought to long for, of being able to see our Savior. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. My, what a moment when we fix our eyes upon Him. And oh, to able to hear Him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over the things that I have called you to do. Oh, what a day that will be. May I stand there with confidence and not be ashamed of Him when He comes. You're here tonight not saved. It should scare you that the Lord would come. It should scare you not being ready, seeing the terrible things as you read in His Word concerning what's going to happen in this whole world. But if you're a child of God, always, God help us, keep our heads looking up for waiting for Him coming. I ask you to stand tonight if you would. Father, I thank you tonight for your Word. And I thank you for the promises that you put in your Word tonight. Lord, there's the promise that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. But Lord, there's the promise that you'll come again for us. Lord, tonight, I pray that in my heart I'll look with anticipation. There'll be that longing, that loving for you to come. But Lord, as we live each day, help us labor. Help us do the things and be busy about what you tell us to do in your Word. Thank you for this church and the faithfulness of her people. Lord, their love that shed abroad in their hearts. And Father, I pray that as we sow the Word, that the seed might fall upon receptive hearts and they might respond, Lord, as we sow the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Christ as their Savior. Now, Father, just go with us in this invitation. Go with us this week. Open up the doors of opportunity that we can encourage and bless others with our lives. For we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.